We don't have our official rules yet, so as I understand, we will not have assigned bills yet.
We will have assigned bills. We will not be able to work session them immediately.
And we do have a schedule.
Yes.
Briefly to kind of break everybody aboard, I know that Representative Westland, this is your first on Human Services?
Mm-hmm.
On Human Services, and Representative Smith,
mm-hmm.
Representative Bates was with us last session, and Senator Morris, welcome. This is his first session on Human Services, and also joining on the Senate side will be Senator Carter and Senator Gordley. And I think a couple things. I'll just take the opportunity to just to highlight before we get started. This session, the co-chairs have asked us to have what I call a compressed, very rapid hearings. They've asked us to be completed with our agency reviews and hearings by mid-April, which will mean for you that we will you'll have to get your homework done, which okay. I've talked to the LFO staff, and we try to have the information to you about the agency at least a day preceding.
Good.
So that you can read it that night before.
That's so
important. And be prepared for your questions ahead of time. You will have, and all of the committees will have, the outline of how the agencies will be presenting their budgets to us. And including in that will be the performance measures that they're required to bring forward to us this session. Some of the agencies, I know the agencies that we worked with last session, and we budget noted a lot of them, to have performance measures, we'll be bringing those back this session, which will help you in your questioning and deliberation with them. It's going to be a session, and I'm not going to kid you, of hard work. I think this subcommittee has the, in my estimation, a tremendously important job and a tremendously tough job. Budget crisis puts us in a position of where we're having to look at all the, in terms of absolutely priorities. The agencies will come before us listing what they believe are the priorities. We will need to comb those and look at them very, very carefully. You will need to listen carefully to all of the, not only the agency, but the provider groups who will be inviting in to talk to us. And also with us this morning is Senator Shields. That's basically my overview. I was a little tardy this morning. I do like to start on time, and I do like it if we're all present, because it makes it a lot easier for us to have the testimony once and then not having to have it redone again. One of the things that I'd like to borrow, and I'd just like your input on it, from Representative Butler's committee, we all get inundated, and we all are all guilty of it, of acronyms. I think they call it the acronym pig in the general government subcommittee. And I would like to borrow that, and you get fined, you know, in that committee. I think sometimes we get caught up ourselves with talking to ourselves, and we forget that the public and others do not understand or know what we're talking about. So I was sitting here the other day, and we were having the overview, and one of the individuals was talking about OEA, and I thought they were talking about the Oregon Education Association, when in fact it was the Oregon Economic Analysis. So I do think we're quite guilty, and I think it's also another way of raising dollars for some worthy causes. And they gave $1,000 to cancer. I mean, you think this is... So I think that we can pick a charity, maybe, since hunger is the number one, maybe the food bank or whatever, but that I will bring in a little bank, and we can... start finding both ourselves and the agencies when they're using the acronym.
And how much is the fine?
I think they charge, from, and I will get that, but I thought he said, you know, to tell them to bring in their quarters.
They raised $1,000?
They raised $1,000.
Holy cow.
Can I put some money in right at the beginning? And sort of a
bank. Are you saying
you're I know, I'm going to, well, sometimes I know the acronym, I can't remember what it stands for, you know.
It just tells you. And with that, I will turn it over to Sheila.
Thank you. Those of you who don't know me, I'm Sheila Baker, Legislative Fiscal Office. I'm the scheduler for this committee. Dolores Wisbrock is our subcommittee assistant, and she's over there. She will be here day in and day out. I will not be. There will be a number of other analyst from the Legislative Fiscal Office. John Britton in the front row there, you will see a lot of him. And then there are several other analysts that have agency assignments that will be coming before this committee. But what I wanted to do today was to just give you some logistical information, particularly for those of you that haven't been in a subcommittee before, and then to reiterate some of the budget overview stuff you got in full committee. Just briefly touch on that and briefly touch on a little bit of additional budget information so that as we start the budget hearings, you'll have a sense of the context that you're operating in. The memo that's in front of you, subcommittee overview information, has probably 99% of what I'm going to say on it, so you don't need to take notes. I'll go over it very quickly and maybe add a few other pieces. It does reference under the attendance there the 1 p.m. start time. If you can't attend a meeting and you know that in advance, please let the Ways and Means Scheduling Clerk know. That's Ryan Whalen in our office, and he'll get the word to us, and that way we won't have to go trying to chase you down when you're not in the building or you're in some other meeting. Particularly when we get to the point where we need a quorum to act on things, that may delay committee meetings if we have to try to find members. Now, the important meeting operations bullets there. The coffee will be provided, but only if the subcommittee asks for it, generally. And just so you know, it costs the Legislative Assembly budget $7 for one carafe of coffee. And so that's a...
Can I get a sense of whether or not this body would like the coffee or not? We voted this morning in general government, and we opted not to. But I don't know whether you would like to have coffee or not.
Not for $7.
Okay.
I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
The $7 will cover approximately 7 cups. It's about a buck a cup.
Yeah, sure. So I
would feel comfortable going up and getting my coffee, but you will miss me.
Either that or have
$7. It's the government work.
Do I hear?
I just want to get the concession for the cafe today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see any reason why we have to spend $7.
Okay. I don't even think it's generally the consensus that we now have. We pay $7 for the coffee. Okay.
Then the next bullet there references, that's right, references the very sensitive microphones in this room with the upgrade of the equipment. There are on occasion, side conversations will be picked up on the equipment, and that makes it difficult in terms of keeping an accurate tape log and being able to go back and find information. So we just wanted to remind members that the microphones are very sensitive.
I think that what she's saying is that we often have side conversations, and if you don't want your remarks in on the record, you may want to either turn your back so that you're not being recorded.
In terms of agendas, we distributed a daily agenda on Friday to your offices. Normally, you will get a daily agenda when you come to the meeting. We will, in advance, hand out an agenda for the week to the extent that we know that. We'll give that to your offices on Friday, and maybe Friday afternoon, but we'll get that to your offices so that you can have a sense of what budgets will be coming before you. At the current time, we will just be doing public hearings until we are able to schedule work sessions. There's a number of issues that need to be dealt with in terms of how we're dealing with the budgets before we get to work sessions, even on the other funded agencies. Attached to the cover page, there is a page that has a list of all the budgets that will be dealt with in this subcommittee, and a list of the legislative fiscal office analysts and the budget and management division analysts that are responsible for those assignments. There are two other agency budgets outside of what's traditionally known as the human services program area that this subcommittee will deal with, and that's the Board of Medical Examiners and the Board of Nursing. That helps balance out the workload with the other subcommittees. And it also gives you an opportunity to get some budgets out of the subcommittee before we get into the massive DHS, Department of Human Services budget. If you have questions about budget issues or policy issues related to those budgets, feel free, please contact our office or the budget management analyst, as well as the agency people. Obviously, if the agency is making presentations to the subcommittee, that's a chance for you to ask questions of them and to get a response back. But if in the interim, before they come up for presentations or after their presentations, you have questions, feel free to give us a call and we can help broker answers in some cases if we don't know the answer. And as the chair referenced, the co-chairs have asked for all agency budget presentations to be scheduled by April 17th. Now, that's about a month earlier than we had scheduled presentations in the last session. So we will be proceeding apace through those agency presentations. I've identified the tentative order of budget hearings, and I will stress tentative. Things change, and we may not do them in exactly this order. We may do pieces and come back to other pieces. We had hoped to be able to do some work sessions early on. We won't be getting to those this week, so we'll have to schedule those later on. But this is the tentative flow of budgets through the committee. There will also be some information that we're scheduling next Monday and Tuesday, for example. The Public Safety Subcommittee and the Joint Judiciary Committee are hearing a presentation on the public safety system, mapping the public safety system, and there are ties to human services with that. And so the chair has indicated that this committee will also be involved in that presentation. And as a practical matter, this is the best hearing room for it, and so they wanted us to be involved and to use this hearing room. There's a comprehensive planning for children and families information meeting that we expect to schedule in the next couple weeks to talk about the Senate Bill 555 from 1999, what's happening with that local comprehensive planning, what agencies are doing, what's happening at the local level. And then the Health Services Commission, in relation to the Oregon Health Plan, is required to report to the legislature, and so we will have an information meeting on that later in the schedule. In addition to the agency budget, you'll be seeing budget-related fee bills. For example, when we get to the Board of Nursing budget, there's a budget-related fee bill, fee ratification bill, that will be before you. We will deal with federal grant application requests, similar to how the emergency board handles those. During the interim, the subcommittee will handle those while the legislature is in session. And then, of course, any substantive legislation with fiscal impact that gets referred to this committee, that will be on your plate as well as we get into the session. When we get to the budget hearings, there will be in front of you a copy of the budget bill, which is basically appropriations, expenditure limitation, and numbers attached to those. And then there will be a binder of the governor's budget information from the agency that you will have as additional information and reference material. I will note that for the first couple of agencies, you may not have that governor's budget binder because of the necessity of getting the governor's final budget decisions into the automated budget system and then turning around and producing a document. You may not have a governor's budget right away, but you will have some information available to you. And then agencies and our office and the Budget and Management Division office will provide handouts and other information. Generally, we do not work from the agency budget binders. As I said, that's information for you and reference material. Generally, we'll work from presentation documents and other handouts. But in terms of the binders and the handouts, you can leave them here, and staff will make sure that everything gets filed in the appropriate place if there's handouts that gets put in the right budget binder, or you can take them with you. If you do take them with you to study or to go over them, we only ask that you bring them back so that you're not without the material at the next meeting. And some of the binders, I mean, as a practical matter, some of those binders get pretty dang big, so you might want to take just pieces of it and bring those pieces back with you. I believe you have probably seen the presentation format. I did attach another copy of it to this document. Most agencies will use the initial format for larger complex agencies, such as Department of Human Services. That's the format that we'll follow. It gives an orientation and an overview of the agency as a whole and then gets more specifically into the program areas. Attached to this is something new that the co-chairs have asked for, and that's the prioritized list of all services. Each agency is to be providing a prioritized list of all their services, and that's information that the subcommittee will want to discuss with the agency.
Excuse me.
Senator Morris.
Are those prioritized lists by just a rating of 1 to 5, or is it from 1 to infinity?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, I don't know that there's been instructions given to agencies as to how finely to slice and dice their programs. I mean, whether it's 1 to 5 or 1 to 500, it will be, I think, instructional when we get the first few agencies in to see how they're doing that. I don't know, as I said, that there's been any definitive, comprehensive instructions to them about exactly how they lay that out on the page. I think as we get into the program discussions, you know, you may want to, if they've summarized it at a very high level or presented it at a very high level, you might want to ask them to work it and to define it a little at a little bit lower level. The co-chairs have asked the subcommittees to focus on certain budget elements out of this presentation format. As I indicated earlier, we've got a more compressed time frame this time around, but there's a lot of information there. But they wanted to have the subcommittees look at personnel issues, particularly position vacancies. If there are vacant positions, why are they being filled? If there's not an adequate reason, the premise is that that position will be gone as we make budget decisions. If the funding needs to be moved someplace else, you know, then the suggestion is that you make that movement. In terms of position and FTE generally, there's a sense that we are to look closely at those, and as well as looking at management and staff ratios as we get into the individual agency budgets.
Would you also include for us, have the agencies to not only talk about their FTEs, but their double fill if they have?
Their what?
Double fill positions.
Sure.
Maybe they.
Well, there, and I don't know if how widespread practice, but there are some occasions where you have a limited duration position or other position where you actually have more than one person filling that position. So I'm asking if that exists, and if it is, and to what level and how many.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, agencies have some ability, for example, if they have a vacant position that's at a certain classification, but they have need for another position to double fill it because somebody's leaving and they need to train somebody for a couple months to do that job, they may double fill that second position, use the money from the vacant position to pay for the double fill. So we can have agencies bring that information to the subcommittee, again, to talk about how they're actually using the positions and the FTE that they have budgeted. We talked about the prioritized program list. That's a one place that the co-chairs wants the subcommittee to focus. Performance measures is another area in the subcommittee. Last time, I think the subcommittee did a good job of looking at performance measures and talking with agencies about them and getting information from them. I think there's an attempt to do that in all subcommittees and to also have agencies, have subcommittees be more involved with the review of those performance measures and, in fact, to ratify the performance measures that the agencies are suggesting be used for the next biennium.
Would it be helpful if we had a compilation of all of the, for this body, the budget notes that were done last session so that the members have it ahead of time, as well as any budget note instructions that was given by the e-board so that you've got a
it would be helpful.
It'd be helpful. I think it'd be helpful for this body to have those.
That is information that traditionally we would bring the agency budget notes from last session to you at the time that the agency's budget was coming before you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to ask that question myself, and especially that we have a full discussion of the budget notes during the presentations, and then a little background to help people who have not been here on the committee last time around. And I was kind of saving some questions, but Sheila, I had one for you that is important to me, at least. We talked about having presentations given to members of the committee the night or the day prior to the presentation. And my experience has been that for many of these presentations, they are long and detailed and generate a lot of questions. And getting them the day before is not really going to be adequate. Are the agencies struggling to get those presentations together right now? Or if they have, can we know kind of a week or so ahead of time what's going to happen? And then we can go to that LFO officer or their agency if we have questions ahead of time, so we can really dig into those budgets more.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, we've asked the agencies to get us their presentation materials a week in advance. Now, the early ones are having trouble getting that there because of the short time frame, but to the extent that as we get into this, more agencies will be able to do that, then we can make them available to you earlier. Because, as you've noted, the more substantive agencies, it is useful to take more time to look at that information.
Thank you.
Then the last item that the co-chairs have identified as something they feel it would be useful for subcommittees to look at are state-to-state program comparisons. To the extent that there's information available or that we can develop information that shows, for example, costs of operating a program in another state that operates it similarly to how Oregon does, that would be useful information for the subcommittee to look at. Now, I would like to state up front that may be difficult to do because particularly in the human services arena, a lot of the programs that Oregon operates do operate differently than in other states. Its human services operations are individualistic in many instances, but there may be some areas that we can bring information back in terms of comparable costs or comparable services. Now, the next bullet references the committee rules, and we don't have those yet, but as expected to be provided in the committee rules, the chair may schedule public testimony, and basically it's at the chair's discretion as to when, who, what, why, how long. We do expect to have several days for public testimony, particularly on the larger agencies, to give people a chance to express their views on the budget.
And with that last session, we did schedule in Saturday sessions. And should we get into time crunches, I will probably do the same this session because we just have a lot of ground to cover in this particular subcommittee. So there may be, I'll try not to have it happen often, but there may be times when we will need to have testimony on a Saturday.
And then when we get into work sessions, that process is generally described in the presentation format. We will present information and decision points to the subcommittee. The subcommittee will make their decisions, and then that's all documented in a budget bill that goes to the full committee and the floors as they vote on that. As part of that budget report, it may include budget notes. We talked a little bit about those already. The co-chairs have asked that all proposed budget notes be routed through Senator Winters as chair of this subcommittee, and then there needs to be joint approval by the co-chairs of those budget notes before they get into the budget report. And the gist of the budget note is to give some direction to the agency tied to execution of the budget. So a budget note is not a place to set forth some brave new policy initiative. It is to be some directive as to what happens with a budget piece or some direction that you want to see the agencies take relative to budget appropriations or expenditure limitations. So that's the information that I had in terms of the information and procedures and the processes. If there's any questions on that, if not, I'll just do the brief overview of the budget content.
Senator Shields.
One question. You commented on state-to-state comparisons a moment ago. That could also apply to reimbursement rates, which seem to vary sometimes state-to-state. Can you include that? I particularly was surprised to find, I think the example was Pennsylvania, got a much higher Medicaid reimbursement rate. Maybe
Medicare.
Dr. Bates can
Medicare.
Tell us about it.
A hugely different Medicare rate.
I think there's a number of states who have much higher rates than
And the question then obviously becomes, why don't we, you know?
That is a interesting and a good discussion, but not this moment, I would expect. Okay. But if we will have that discussion.
Well, we need to.
What it also, Madam Chair, brings to my mind also is that we have four or five health committees in this body right now, and we have interlocked membership on that, which is good. And we will probably, I would hope, bring information from committee to committee and back and forth, because that cross-pollination can bring really good information to all the committees that are functioning.
Okay. We're trying to meet to find out, to determine how that interfacing is going to take place with the four other committees besides this body, to assure that that we don't work at cross purposes, but also to assure that the work that once it's done is incorporated in a way that result, you know, to look at its budgetary implications. So I've been, that's Representative Weston there, having a meeting, and we've had some meetings with on the Senate side with Marcette and Fisher to see how we're going to make all this work, given the number of committees that we have this time in this building devoted to both human services as well as the organ health plan, organ health care policy. So we'll try to coordinate, as, to work it as much as we can to make sure we're getting a good product out this session. And, but on the comparison, Senator Shields' issue, I think that is a subject that will come up, and then the question becomes what we as a state can do to push it a little bit to get those changes. Any other questions?
Are we going to get into reorg at all? How that's working?
We'll get into reorg in the discussion when their budgets come before us, because that's an integral part of the budgetary issues, yes.
And Madam Chair, Representative Westland, the Department of Human Services budget this time will be presented in different structures than have been done in the past, which are the reorganized structures. And so instead of having the 9 divisions and program offices that we've had in the past, we basically have 5 clusters of program services and support services. So it will be an integral part of the budget discussion as to what moved where, when, and how much it costs.
And I know that's presenting some budgeting challenges trying to compare this apple to that orange. But my question really was, is are we going to get into any analysis of discussion of how the reorg is working, evaluate our intention with our enabling language to the agency when we directed them to reorganize? How is it working? That I understand we're going to get into various parts of it when we do the individual budget clusters.
Representative Wes and I would hope and expect that that's a part of the discussion when the agency and even the some of the provider groups that will be coming before us, because that's part and parcel.
It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Chair.
Representative Bates.
My memory of the last time this committee dealt with this was that we had the overview presentation of the entire DHS program. That's when there was a long discussion about reorganization and what it might look like and how it might go forward. I would expect and hope that when we get the DHS overview again, that will be the key part of their discussion, so we can look at that and talk about it. That would seem the appropriate time for it to come in. It came in that way last time with Mr. Mink, and I assume Gene Thorne would bring that to us again this time. But that's maybe something we should look forward to seeing.
You know, in addition to, I think, Representative Weston, you're probably also concerned with how the delivery system is going and whether the delivery system is actually
exactly
living up to the expectation that we have when we pass the enabling legislation. In addition, I just, because we have our visitors who are with us who usually, and I want to say welcome to you today. I didn't get to do that. I didn't say that earlier when I opened the meeting. But I also want to say that we're glad you're here with us. And we also seek your assistance. This budget that we will be working on will require not only the work that we're doing here, but I think often those of you who work with us from the provider and the lobby side know of efficiencies and know of places where we may perhaps can do things better. And as your chair of this body, I welcome your comments. I welcome your input. And we'll certainly, and I think I speak for this this body, we recognize that all of us in Oregon are in this boat together. That we understand that we're in a very difficult situation, and that it's going to take all of us to put together a budget that meets the needs of the citizens in the state. So I wanted to put that on record because I do welcome your input, and know that sometimes you have within your grasp solutions or maybe some ways that we can do things a tad bit different that can be a lot more efficient than what we're doing now to serve the needs of the citizens. So I just wanted to say I welcome you as a part of this budget deliberative process.
Yeah, I'll just take a few minutes to go through these last few pieces in your handout just to set a budgetary context for the subcommittee. The first chart is a replication of what you got in the statewide overview. It shows human services budget there. You'll note it's the second largest budget in terms of all funds program areas. So this is an important subcommittee, as I'm sure you are all aware. The next chart just shows for the human service program area over time the statewide general fund share in this program area has declined. It's gone from about 25% in the 93-95 biennium down to about 20% in the 03-05 governor's budget. So the general fund, and there's a little bit of lottery fund there, that share has declined over time. But if you look at the next graph, you can see that the human services total funds budget has actually grown more than the statewide budget over that same time period. Primarily because of increased other funds from tobacco tax, for example, the tobacco tax increases passed in 94 and then more recently, this biennium, and then increased expansion with federal funds as we use general fund in the Medicaid program and expand the Medicaid services under the health plan and the senior long-term care programs. There's significant federal funds that come along with that. So although the general fund share has declined, again, in terms of total budget growth, it's been faster than the budget overall. The next page just gives you a one-line summary for each budget or program area that you'll be looking at in the subcommittee so that you can see how the funding is split among those. The subcommittee will start with the smaller budgets, if you will, the other funds budgets. Tomorrow, actually, you have Psychiatric Security Review Board, which is primarily general funded, but it is relatively smaller than the massive Department of Human Services budget that you'll be dealing with for most of the time in the subcommittee. Then I wanted to, in the next two charts, just talk very briefly about the funding sources for the human services program area budgets. Again, federal funds makes up a big share of this. Almost 60% of the budget is either federal funds, which are spent as limited expenditures or non-limited expenditures, which is a budget category for things like food stamps or WIC expenditures, things where the state doesn't control those expenditures. It's an entitlement program in these cases, and the federal government controls them. So about almost 60% of the human services program area budget or expenditures is federally supported. So it, as you've noted as you've gone through the last five special sessions, the federal match and the federal impact of general fund reductions is a big issue in this program area. The general fund lottery share is a little over a quarter of the budget. Lottery is only about a little over $1 million in this budget. It's dedicated statutorily to gambling addiction treatment, so there's not a lot of lottery money here. And of the general fund, about 85% of that the department uses either as match for federal funds or to meet federal maintenance of effort requirements. So, for example, in the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families program, we get a federal block grant, but that federal block grant is contingent on the state spending a certain amount of general fund. And so as we start talking about budget reductions, you will hear about, well, you know, that's jeopardizing our maintenance of effort requirements, or, you know, that has an impact overall that's three or four times more than you would expect from the general fund reduction because of the matching requirements. So that will be an issue that you're looking at here. And then the last graph shows how the human services program area expenditures are broken out categorically. Almost 80% of the budget is in special payments. That's payments to providers, payments to individuals, reimbursements for services. And personal services makes up about 13% of this budget. Services and supplies about 8%. A very small piece is capital outlay. Now, contrasting that to the statewide totals, statewide special payments are only about 65% of the budget. So much, a greater share of what the human services program area pays for goes out as payments to counties or providers or individuals. And the personal services share statewide is almost 17%. So comparably, human services actually has a smaller amount of its budget going to personal services than other program areas. And this becomes an issue, again, as you're talking about reductions, where do you take the reductions? There's much more of the budget going out in special payments, so generally you would expect to see more of the reductions on the special payment side. So that will be some context to keep in mind as we go through these individual agency budgets.
Questions? Everybody's totally up to speed.
I want the budgets. Madam Chair, I want the budgets.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, tomorrow you will start in the Psychiatric Security Review Board. It is a significant agency, even though it's a relatively small general fund budget. Rick Olson will be the budget analyst for our office that will be here. We do not expect that you will be able to work session it, but we expect that you will be able to go through to the point of work session.
Senator Carter?
Of course,
Did I select that one first? I agreed to do that one first. Just want to get us.
It
seems very appropriate for us to start there. If there are no further questions, I go ahead and adjourn, but I do want to impress on you the important job that we have in front of us these next few months. I don't want to any way seem that it's taken lightly, because we have, I think, the most, from a budgetary standpoint, this committee has its job set out for it. We've gone through the five special sessions. Where we are today with steel revenue issues in Oregon, and we're dealing with the populations in our society. Like I told someone, it's traditional when you're dealing in human services that in an economical downturn, their job just gets intensified. When it's boom time, to where you don't have the caseload increases, it's when the recession hits, their caseloads go up. So for us to also have to look at further efficiencies means that we're going to be taking a fine-tooth comb going through these budgets and really setting priority needs from this committee. So with Senator Morse.
Madam Chair. It seems to me that this request to prioritize, for the department heads to prioritize, could be a pretty vexing task for them to do. And it would seem to me that it might be helpful to have a consistent thinking across all of the subcommittees with respect to how they're going to do that, whether it's a rating system of high priority to low priority, or whether it's actually discriminating with respect to this is the one we got to keep and this is the program or task that we can let go. There's a big difference between the two. And it would be helpful for me to, I think, to have some fair understanding of what we're going to expect, as opposed to having them appear and not deliver what it is that we're wanting.
I know the co-chairs, the co-chairs' desire in setting priorities, and there weren't the standards that were given, but I think we can talk about our expectations, and we can. For this committee, when you talk priorities, you're talking about basic needs. And the other committees have a whole different priority set. I mean, we're dealing with the human side of it, and I think with every agency coming in, I'm sure I don't know if Sheila's talked to them, that it is not your want list, it is your need list. And hopefully they will not come in this time with what sometimes happens in this building, where they know that there's areas that they know members of this august body have personal heartburn about. So they may come down at the bottom of the list because they think that somehow we're going to restore them. So I'm asking them not to do that, that we really are talking about from the standpoint of service delivery. When they look at the budgets, those agencies know, really, I think, where the real heartburn and the needs are. And not at this time, the climate does not lend itself to this body talking about restoration issues, which we've done in the past. You know, in the past, you know, usually the budget comes out, they know that Senator Winters has her daycare issues and her senior issues and those, and so they know that Senator Winters is going to, you know, kind of fight for her seat. And they know that Representative Bates has his particular, or Senator Gordy has hers. And so we're asking them this time to, that this is not the climate for gamemanship. This is the climate to talk about needs. Senator Gordy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your comments, and I also appreciate very much the question that has been raised by Senator Morse. It would be helpful as the agencies come forward to hear what guiding principles they have used to arrive at a given budget decision or budget recommendation. Those of you who've worked with me for a while know that I always come back to, and so what are the principles here? And I think that's a kind of where Senator Morse is also coming from and asking for some kind of rating system. It's principles. What are they?
So in addition to their performance standards, we can ask them for their guiding principles.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And how they use those.
And how they use those to prioritize.
Yes.
Good suggestion. Any other suggestions? Questions? Thank you. And with that, I will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock sharp. We are done.
I remember.